This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the Executive Director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk about growth and development issues. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
Good to be here, Coy.
How's
we missed
family?
You.
Yeah, yeah. Had a good time. We did the Virginia Beach and Busch Gardens, and have you ever been to the Virginia Living Museum in Newport News?
You
ever been to that?
Is that the one with the animals, the otters and all that?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Amazing place. That's my new favorite place.
I've spent the night in that museum.
Now you're getting a little spooky.
It was a, who did I do that with?
Did you get locked in?
It was a Cub Scout trip.
Gene, come back.
It was Cub
the
Scouts.
The door's locked.
Cub Scouts. Spent the floor on the... That's something Cub Scout troops do these days.
They stay in museums?
They do. And they, like, everyone...
Never heard of this.
You know, at night, they turn the museum over to whatever group's there, and the Cub Scouts all, you know, you pick your place for your sleeping bag. Of course, it's pretty hard on the floor.
Yeah, I would imagine
pretty
so.
Pretty uncomfortable for the grown-ups.
Yeah.
The kids run around in these museums for several hours just having, you know, the place all to themselves.
Yeah.
And they fall right to sleep because they're tired. The grown-ups, not so good.
You're up reading with your
but
flashlight.
Anyway, I've done that at the Richmond Science Museum, that one you're talking about in Virginia Beach. And then there's another one in Newport News, an Air and Space Museum over there. They've got
The Virginia Living Museum has a planetarium.
No, there's another one.
Oh, really?
Newport News.
Oh, no kidding.
It's got an Air and Space kind
wow.
of museum.
Wow. This place was amazing. I
so
mean, really.
What did you like the best?
The exhibit that I liked the mm-hmm. best? Well, my son, of course, loved the Triceratops. They have these mechanical dinosaurs, you know, that howl and they move around. They're all like these animatronic kind of things.
Yep.
It's a temporary exhibit. And he freaked. I mean, he freaked. Because he'll tell you every names of all the dinosaurs. And so he loved that. Allison loved the otter exhibit because you can see them swimming underwater. And
they're very cute.
Doing all sorts of tricks.
Like and you can also touch the stingrays. Did you go into that exhibit?
That is the aquarium. You're talking about the aquarium. I'm talking about the Virginia Living Museum
but
in Newport
they right
News.
Near each other?
No.
Totally different?
Virginia Living Museum is up near Williamsburg. The Virginia Aquarium is down at Virginia Beach.
I was talking about the aquarium.
Down past
they have
Rudy Inlet.
At the aquarium, too.
Yes. They got a lot of stuff. Okay. But you know what? I'll tell you. Allison and I, we actually agreed on this driving home. The Virginia Living Museum is nicer than the Virginia Aquarium. Hmm. And you wouldn't think so because it's a Virginia Aquarium is huge, massive, big thing with an IMAX theater. Virginia Living Museum is just sort of tucked back in a neighborhood off the highway. But it's a much nicer facility with better exhibits and really
cool.
I'll
put that on our list.
No, yeah, check it out.
It was the other one I had spent the night in.
In the aquarium.
Yeah, the aquarium. Yeah. Which was kind of cool, sleeping under the fish, I must say.
Oh, yeah, that is a cool exhibit. The big, huge tank.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
very cool.
Laid out right there next to the fish.
There you go. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. So your summer's going well so far? Is this a busy time of year for like growth and development
somebody
stuff?
Somebody said yesterday, you know, it's only 60 days till school starts again. So, you know, summer's... And that just sort of just blew it for me right there. I was like, well, what kind of a summer is that?
Oh, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
God, it's not even the fourth yet.
It's going to go by so fast. I hate to be... Anyway, my summer's going fine.
Good. Is this a busy time of year for like growth stuff?
It's always busy.
Do they have like meetings? And
I have not found the downtime yet in the growth and development and transportation.
Really?
Agenda.
It just doesn't exist.
It doesn't.
Maybe the holidays,
people keep bringing things forward and other projects that you think you're going to talk about in May get deferred and then they're in July.
Yeah.
So it doesn't
seem to
stop.
They don't take a break for the summer.
No.
And there's meetings even today.
There's meetings tonight, too. My staff, our intern Ben and Sean Tubbs, my program officer, they're both covering the city and county planning commissions tonight. And I'm glad to have a little break from covering those meetings. So kudos.
You can go have dinner with the family. What an idea.
Ben is now fully.
Those of us who work late, we don't even know what that's like.
Ben's fully trained to cover the county planning commission. And he's going to have a good meeting because they are going to be talking about this Virginia vintage apples. Vintage Virginia apples.
Yeah, that was in the paper. What is that? A new cidery? Is that what it's called?
They are apparently putting in a request to open up a tasting facility to sell, I guess, what they call hard cider. And
is that alcoholic?
Yes, I believe so.
Interesting.
And I know this place because they have a great apple festival, and the North Garden Ruritans have they cook Brunswick stew out there. I think it's every November. October, November. They're cooking the Brunswick stew. And they have this big apple festival at this farm, which is on 29 South, right near Red Hill. And it's great. You know, it's funny. Dave Phillips, who runs the local Realtor Association,
sure.
He put a post up on his blog this week, the top 50 things he likes about Charlottesville Albemarle. And he only got through like about 35, and then he said, I need some help here. What are the ones I'm missing? And that was one of the things I put on the list was this apple festival at this farm. So it's a neat facility. The family is trying to expand their business. That'll be in front of the Planning Commission. Doesn't sound like it's going to be very controversial.
And that's in front of the City Planning Commission.
County Planning Commission.
Oh, the County
that's
Planning
the county
Commission.
County Planning Commission.
Okay.
Yep.
So that would be, they want to offer folks, you can go to the orchard then and try some hard cider.
That's right.
Which is, get you a little loopy if you drink too much.
But, you know, like a lot of the wineries around here, what they're growing is apples, and they have what are known as heirloom apples. And if you go to this festival, you can try an amazing variety of apples, and I would encourage folks to check that out.
Is anybody still growing the Albemarle Pippin?
I don't know. But
I
if they
if
were,
still,
if
I'd
they
love
were,
to try
it
that.
Would be at this farm.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
They have a real diversity.
I think in our yard in Ivy, we have some old apple trees, and I think they're over 100 years old, and they still produce apples. But I would love to find out. I need an apple expert to come out.
Tell you
and
what
tell
kind
me.
Of apple that is.
Right. And there's probably some history with the farm.
Could be a Pippin. You never
it
know.
Could be. But I bet you could somehow splice it onto, I mean, I assume we could try to create new trees out of this. And I would love
sure.
to keep this apple, you know, going.
Yeah.
But I need to talk.
Well, so if somebody's listening and can help you.
Because you know what you can do with apples.
Tomorrow.org.
You know what you can do with apples, Coy.
You can make hard cider and get
you
drunk.
You can make pie.
Ah, what a nice transition.
All right, but that's vintage Virginia apples. That's on the County Planning Commission tonight. The other thing they'll be talking about tonight is the UVA hospital proposal for 250 West out near Northridge.
Uh-huh, yeah. I was teasing this morning on the little promo. This is not many people know about this. A big new hospital.
It has sort of snuck up. It's going to be a three-story, 50-bed facility, and one of the things I learned about this project, let me grab my notes here.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. One of the things I learned about this that's interesting is UVA doesn't have to follow zoning guidelines on their property.
You mean local zoning guidelines?
Right, because they're an arm of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and they don't always have to follow zoning guidelines, which is something I had never really seen in writing. But in the staff report for this project, they put it in writing. They said, you know, University of Virginia, arm of the Commonwealth, they don't have to follow our guidelines. However, there's a three-party agreement between the city, the county, and UVA, and one of the items in that agreement says that for certain areas, especially those close to the city, that UVA will voluntarily follow those guidelines.
Oh, wow.
So
nice.
This piece of property out 250 West is just beyond Northridge, as you said in the promo, right between the Volvo dealership and the Northridge facility.
Going up that hill there.
As you're going up that hill, and it would use the existing parking lot that's there and probably expand it for the Northridge facility. And this hospital would then free up space in the main medical center at UVA. These are patients who are staying longer than 25 days in the main medical center, and they want to have a different facility for them. And it's part of the UVA's master plan to grow the medical center. It's something we've given some coverage to in the past. But that project needs one of the things it needs is a waiver related to critical slopes. Otherwise, it's a by right development in that part of the county. Even though it's in the rural areas, there's some underlying zoning. Again, UVA doesn't have to follow it, but if they would voluntarily do so, it is still a by right development based on that zoning.
And it's a UVA facility, and it's three stories. And
three stories, 50 beds. It's called the Long Term Acute Care Hospital, or LTAC.
Now, what's that going to do in terms of traffic, folks taking a left out of there to head back in towards town?
That would add to traffic.
Indeed. But that would be that's a hard thing to do, even for the folks in Northridge, sometimes taking a left out.
You know,
there.
I head out that way, as you do. And when I pass them and I see that queue of cars trying to get out of Northridge, I immediately feel sorry for them.
That's what I'm
But I know
about.
If I try to slow down and help them, I'm going to get rear-ended.
The one good thing they have going for them is that middle lane. So
yep.
They can go halfway.
That's right.
And then wait to merge.
You're right.
So,
well, it's certainly going to add to it. I didn't see that described in depth. It certainly may come up tonight. But one of the things.
But there's not going to be a light. There's no light planned.
Well, typically what you would hear, VDOT say is it would need to meet certain warrants. The other place they're looking at putting a light, frankly, is near Birdwood, the golf course, and the new development that's happening on the other side of.
You knew that was there. Just a matter of time.
So that one was a developer who I believe put on the table a proffer related to that traffic light. I think VDOT is saying right now the warrants aren't quite there for it. They're trying to figure out when to put that light in.
Warrants meaning the warrants, number, the traffic.
Test. They have a test of like 10 items. They have to test traffic counts, site distances.
To see if you warrant a traffic light.
That's right.
Okay.
And I'm sure that that's something they will keep an eye on at this intersection. And in time, I think UVA, if they felt like it was a good thing to have, they would certainly contribute to it. But again, this is a by right development. They don't have to put proffers on the table, which you would have to do for a rezoning.
Right. They can just go ahead and do it.
They can just go ahead and do it.
They need the permission to build on on that hill.
But. And VDOT would come after the fact and say, okay, now it's time for a traffic light. Right. So like you, I expect that's something that may be in the future. Just over the hill at, what's the road there?
Where the nursery is.
To go down
is.
To Floridan and the Ivy Nursery. There is a light there now.
Yeah.
That was added, several years ago.
So we're going to be, there could be another light there at Northridge. There could be a light at Birdwood.
Yes.
For those new homes going in there.
Yep.
It's going to be harder and harder to get down 250.
So that's what's happening.
Unless they time them like they did on 29.
With the County Planning Commission, and Ben Dorenberg will have a report for us on the website tomorrow, seavilletomorrow.org.
There you go. And the city is having a meeting tonight too, right?
They are. They're talking about a couple things. And again, I got to get my notes out here.
And that's at City Hall?
They are meeting in the, I believe so. Here it is. City Planning Commission's having a work session. It's in the conference room, so this would be on the first floor of City Hall, the Neighborhood Development Services conference room. They're talking about their work plan, so the different things in the queue for the Planning Commission, talking about telecommunications, zoning, text amendments. You know what that means? Cell towers,
no.
Basically. Where do you want to put cell towers in the city? And they're talking about some parking ordinances related to parking in public park areas, so places where they're building parks, where how much parking should they have, should they allow waivers, things like that. So this is kind of, as we would say, on the geeky side of the growth and development agenda, but Sean Tubbs is the right man for it, and he's going to see if there are any stories coming out of that meeting tonight.
There you go. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and we talk growth and development issues on Tuesday afternoons. You can check out all the stories in depth with audio, video, text, everything you're looking for at seavilletomorrow.org. Now, we're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour for local news and weather, like we are wont to do. But when we get back, what are some of the things we're going to talk about? We got water, of course. The RSWA met yesterday.
There's always a weekly water update. We can cover that. We can talk about the city needing a new planning commissioner.
Really?
And we can catch you up.
I thought they had a bunch of them.
Well, they do, but they need another one. And we can talk about some of the things you missed while you were on assignment.
Uh-huh.
See, they told me you were on assignment.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're not supposed to say you're out of town.
Okay.
Yeah. So, they say I'm on assignment.
So we'll catch you up.
I'm eating seafood somewhere, walking to a museum. A break here for local news and weather. We'll continue the discussion on the other side. You're listening to Charlottesville right now. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow and joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk about growth and development issues. So should we get right to the water?
Sure.
Those papers are right there?
I've always got papers. But today I had to lug in a separate satchel for the water folders.
You're kidding.
It's gotten so big that I can't carry it in my box anymore.
It is a big story.
Because I never know what you're going to ask me about. So
it is
a big story. I've got huge files here.
Allison has water fatigue. She told me, I'm just tired of hearing about water. And I think there's a lot of people out there like, just go ahead and do something about it.
Well, what they're doing, the news this week, is the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, which is the organization that provides water and sewer to the city and the county, and who has been putting together this 50-year water supply plan. Their board agreed this week on Monday to authorize up to $300,000 to start investigating dredging. So this would be to do a dredging study.
And that's $300,000 they already have.
That's money they have that they would allocate towards this.
It's sitting there, right?
Yep.
They have this fund exists. They don't have to go out and get my money to do a study.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
Good.
Now, we have not published our story on this yet, but tomorrow we will have our detailed story and some of the feedback from the public, different members of the public. Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan had several speakers present at the meeting yesterday because they do take public comment. And we'll put that audio up as well as our summary of the meeting. But this is the reason this happened, Coy, is because, as you know, City Council and the Board of Supervisors both passed resolutions sort of reendorsing the community water supply plan with two additional caveats now, that dredging at South Fork Ravenna Reservoir be taken into consideration, and that conservation efforts really be stepped up as much as possible by the community so that we use less water. So with that direction from city and county, their two customers, the Ravenna Water and Sewer Authority Board, which is made up of appointed members. That's not an elected body. It's got two members from the city, Gary O'Connell, the city manager, Judy Mueller, who runs public works in the city. Those are two of the voting members. Gary Fern is head of the Albemarle County Service Authority, and Bob Tucker is the county executive. And then the fifth member is Mike Gaffney, a local developer. So those are the folks that run the Ravenna Water and Sewer Authority, and that's the entity that then took that direction and agreed to move forward with this.
Brian, how did it get to be that back in when we were trying to figure out the 50-year water plan and come up with this whole idea, how did it get to be that one of the requirements for the water plan was to put water back in the Mormons River? I'm wondering how that even got on the list as a requirement.
Well, that's something that my understanding, Coy, is that there had been a voluntary release done from the reservoir up there, the Sugar Hollow Reservoir. There had always been a voluntary release. They didn't want the Mormons to go dry. The reason this is even talked about is because water gets siphoned out of Sugar Hollow and piped to Ragged Mountain here in the city, close to the city. And so one of the considerations there, anytime we're looking at the water supply, is what are the stream flows looking like, whether that's the Mormons or the Ravenna coming out of South Fork. So, you know, the Nature Conservancy was one of the groups that, and also Friends of the Mormons River, those were two groups that came forward and said, hey, we think we have an idea about a win-win here. We can not only provide enough water for a 50-year plan, but we can do it in a way that puts water back into the Mormons and the Ravenna River. And so it would be captured downstream of Sugar Hollow. That pipeline needs to be repaired or replaced between Sugar Hollow and Ragged Mountain. And what the Nature Conservancy and Friends of the Mormons said was just eliminate that pipeline, take it out of commission, let the water flow downstream. It gets the stream flows back up. You're going to capture it at South Fork and then create a new pipeline that goes from South Fork to Ragged Mountain.
So instead of piping it to Ragged Mountain from Sugar Hollow,
right,
we'll pipe it over from South Fork.
Correct.
And so you make Ragged Mountain much bigger, so you can pipe more in.
That's right. One of the things we need for this 50-year plan is more storage capacity. Everybody agrees we need more capacity. Where people start to disagree is how much and by what time and where to put that capacity. And one of the places we can get it is in dredging the South Fork Ravenna Reservoir. So you can restore some capacity if you start taking out the silt material that's piling up there. We're losing about 1% of the South Fork Ravenna Reservoir each year. That reservoir was built in 1966. It's been silting up ever since. And what this study would do is tell us, as a community, tell us what's in there. Is it material that can be sold on the market somehow, or is it material that's readily deposited somewhere nearby, or is it material we need to truck somewhere?
Yeah.
And if so, what are the cost of that?
Brian, Pat Enright was on yesterday from Dominion Development Resources, and he said, hey, you know, I got a gorge over here, and we don't need to do this study. We can just start taking it out as soon as we get a dredge in there, and we'll throw it in our gorge. Or whatever you want to call it, the big hole.
He's got
in the
a
ground.
Quarry nearby. That's
yeah.
Correct. Yep. It's actually owned by Dr. Hurt, and they are one of the groups that's come forward and said, we want to help with this dredging situation.
Yeah.
Dredging, my understanding, Coy, does require permits as well. So there's a process you have to go through. If you want to start messing around in a water supply reservoir, you have to get some permits approved to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I would point out, and I've done that in the past, is that the Ravenna Water and Sewer Authority has said, and the Department of Environmental Quality also supports this, saying that dredging alone is not going to be enough capacity just doing the dredging doesn't give you enough water capacity for that 50-year goal that the community set. So even if aliens landed in Charlottesville tomorrow and all they ate was mud, and they could take it all out in one fell swoop, that would not be enough capacity for the 50-year plan as it's currently defined.
Right. As it's currently defined. And right. that as it is defined is also one of the issues that's being debated. Who came up with the number and why is that the number and
sure.
that kind of thing.
There's a set of assumptions in that plan, whether it's population, whether it's demand, whether it's conservation, and what is the safe yield that we need from these reservoirs, what kind of drought do we need to prepare for, and all those assumptions are what led to the 50-year community water supply plan and the specifications
right.
that need to go into that.
And let me say this again, because I don't think it is said enough. All of this talk about water, all of this talk about a plan is planning for a drought. We have plenty of water to drink. None of this has anything to do with we don't have enough water to drink. This is all planning for the worst case scenario. What do we do if there's a huge drought? Where do we get our water? That's right, right?
Well, it's two things. Today, you're right, we do have enough water. And 97% of the time, the water is flowing over the South Fork Ravenna Reservoir Dam, and we don't even need it. It just flows on downstream to Richmond and the James River. What we do have to plan for is both droughts and growth, though. And keep in mind, Coy, you know, over the years I've been on your program, we've talked about a lot of new developments, both in the city and the county. And I was looking back at the pipeline of housing, and as of last August, the pipeline was showing about 15,800 homes have been approved since about the year 2000. Most of those have not been built yet. And, of course, with the current market, that's going to delay when they do get built. But over 15,000 homes have been approved. A lot of those major developments, I mean, Biscuit Run, when that was in front of Albemarle County, the first thing residents around Mill Creek came forward to public meetings and said was, after they talked about traffic, the next thing they talked about was how on earth are we going to get enough water to these people? And the decision makers said, well, we've got a 50-year plan. We know where that water is going to come from.
The water will be there. Go ahead and build them.
The water will be there. Now, at the end of the day, when you build the house, you need to hook it up to the water system. And if the water's not there, then they won't issue a hookup to allow that house to be connected. But, you know, again, keep in mind that we have designated growth areas, both the city and in the county. And housing has been approved in those areas. And one of the things that the decision makers relied upon was that there would be a plan to accommodate that growth.
To provide water at the amount that is in the 50-year plan.
That's right. And so, you know, the average home probably uses, I don't know, 160 gallons a day. So just for those homes right there.
What? 160 gallons of water a day?
That's my estimate. I went back and looked at some of our articles about how much the rates would increase and what that would mean to the average household. And that's what I came up with. And that would mean about 2.5 million gallons a day that you'd need if, you know, all 15, 16,000 of those homes were built at once.
How much more would it cost if the rates did go up, like they're saying, like a worst-case scenario?
You know, I didn't bring that info.
Like $10,000 a year per house?
If you – no.
Okay, good. Somewhere in between zero and
that. Would be way off. But if you search Google and Charlottesville Tomorrow and water rates, you'll find it.
Okay. Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. So what did I miss when I was away on vacation? Playing in the sunshine.
You missed some good things. Now, I'm going to go back a couple weeks just because I didn't get a chance to talk about it because you and I were last, you know, together.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So remember we were talking about the Board of Supervisors and minutes.
Yes.
That did get
there was
resolved.
There was a big debate as to whether or not they should fund the full transcription of the recordings of their meetings.
And you'll be glad to hear because I know you think this is a good idea.
I believe in open government. Open government. I think it's money well spent to make government open and accessible to citizens. The more we know about what's going on and the easier it is to get information, that's a good thing.
By a 5-to-1 vote, they decided to allocate another $35,000. That's what staff told them they would have to invest to keep these detailed minutes being done after each meeting so that you'd have a complete written record of the board's deliberations. But Ken Boyd, the chair of the board, voted against that. But the 5 votes were in favor, and so they're going to keep doing that. So that was one item that
I think that's money well spent.
Got resolved. And Charlottesville Tomorrow typically.
And it's not like they got to raise taxes to do it. It's there. that money existed.
Well, that I think Bob Tucker, the county executive, said that that money was not in the budget, but he could take it from the board's reserve fund.
If they were
interested in that, he could take it from their
that money exists.
Their little
that's small potatoes in a big county budget. That money's there. They don't have to raise taxes to do that.
But you know, the board really deliberates about a lot of different amounts of money, and you know, even $10,000 items sometimes get a lot of attention. So
yeah.
Anyway. So it is small in the grand scheme of their
budget. They approved that. Phone lines are open, 977-1070. Lee is on the line. Lee, you're on with Brian Wheeler. You go right ahead.
Yes, I have a suggestion on how to save some water.
How can we do that?
Put a brick in your toilet tank.
And explain to the listeners what that would do for you, Lee.
What's that?
Explain to the listeners what that does for you.
Well, it saves 2 pints of water or maybe a quart of water every time you flush the toilet.
Interesting. So in the tank, not in the bowl. Put it in the bowl, it's going to get nasty. That'll be a nasty brick.
I forgot to call it.
Yeah, so one of the things, modern toilets today probably have a smaller tank because they're more efficient at taking care of business, so to speak. But if you have an older toilet tank, that's one way you can have it use less water.
Interesting.
Flushes less. You basically create your own low flush toilet.
I've never heard that. Lee, where'd you hear that? Oh, we lost him. Lee, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I have a friend, actually, who's opening a restaurant in Lexington. And called the Red Hen, and he's got a blog and everything. He's putting in those European toilets. So when you go, you can decide, do I want a big flush or a small flush? Huh. I wish we had those at our house.
Button one or
button
two.
You can save a ton of money.
Well, here's another idea. And Lee, if you're listening, you probably know about this too. But rain barrels. Coy, there's going to be a workshop to create your own rain barrel. Now, that's something I've thought about at our house. How could we collect the rain coming off the roof? You know, it's going into my gutters, but then it goes out in the yard,
yeah.
And I've lost it.
Collect it not to drink.
Right? What's that?
You'd collect it not to drink.
Not to drink, although you can do that if you have the right filters and treatment set up.
You collect it to, like,
but
use on your flowers
use
and
it
stuff.
To use in the garden, to water the lawn, animals, whatever.
Who's having this rain barrel workshop?
Thomas Jefferson Soil and Water Conservation District. So this is a group that's doing a rain barrel workshop. The reason I'm bringing it up now, it's not till August, but the reason you need to know about it now is because you need to reserve and put in your request to participate. So if you go to their website, which is tjswcd.org, or just Google Thomas Jefferson Soil and Water. I bet you'll find it. But they've got some information up there about this rain barrel workshop. It's going to be August 2nd from 10 to 12, and you pay, how much is it here? I'll find it.
$10,000?
No, it's not $10,000. But you have to buy the barrel. I think it's like $40.
For the barrel?
You get the barrel, and you'll be able to have it all hooked up and ready to go.
They show you everything you need to do.
Everything you need to do to hook it up to your gutter.
That's pretty cool.
So it's $40. One barrel
it's
per family.
One of those
family.
Kind of things that you sort of think about and you think, well, why shouldn't I be doing that?
And the deadline to register is July 11th. So that's why I brought it up now, and we'll put that on our calendar.
There you go. Now, we've got a couple of minutes left. What is this Northtown thing?
Northtown Center. That was something else that happened while you were gone. That was the Wendell Wood development across from Lowe's and Kegler's.
Oh, yeah. And Pat Enright was yesterday on the program.
That's right.
He's involved with that.
That's right. Yeah. He was representing Mr. Wood at that hearing in front of the Albemarle County Planning Commission.
So that's a go.
That was a go. That was a vote 6-1 last week for the first phase of that to be approved. So that'll be coming online.
So that's a planning commission,
North.
Though. So it's still got to go to the board for final approval, right?
That one will not, because this is a final site plan, and there's no need for it to go to the board.
Yeah. But we don't know as of yet what's going in there in terms of big stores.
I don't know. He didn't mention it.
He mentioned a bank.
A bank.
But there's always a bank.
It's 89,000 square feet of commercial and retail.
Wow.
Is how it's being described.
And remind folks again where this is. It's like one of the last wooded places on 29 as you're heading north.
Between the Woodbrook neighborhood entrance and the Carsbrook neighborhood on the right side of 29 North.
So across from Kegler's and Shul's and that kind of
thing. That's right.
There you go. When do they expect to start cutting down trees?
Well, you never you never know with these things. So the market will certainly have something to do with that. But whenever folks are presenting these things to the Planning Commission, it's always immediate.
Yeah, we need to do this yesterday.
We're ready to order stuff and ready to go. And then sometimes things don't happen for a while.
Brian Wheeler is the Executive Director of Charlottesville Tomorrow and joins us on Tuesdays to talk growth and development. You can get full updates, video, audio of all of this information at SevilleTomorrow.org. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
Y'all have a great night.